Would you take God's word this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to be noticing the last few verses of the particular chapter. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through verse number 42. And let's have a word of prayer together and ask God's blessings. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to look into your word and allow your word to challenge us. In this day and age in which we live, we need to hear from you, and we can hear from you through your word. And help us now to have an open heart and open mind. I'm so thankful that you know the hearts of each individual in this congregation this morning far better. Well, in fact, I don't know anyone's heart, but I know you do, and I would pray that you would meet people at their points of need this morning, whatever that need may be. And may, again, you give us understanding. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn again in your Bibles, if you don't have them open yet, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse number 38 through verse number 42. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, as you'll see it here on the screen, Refuel, Refuel. Now I want to do a quick survey before we get into the text, and that is, how low do you typically allow your gas tank to get before you fill it? Let's just do a little quick survey. How many of you say quarter full? Raise your hand. That's when you fill your gas tank, quarter full. Half full. Three quarters full. Anybody three quarters full? You fill it at three quarters? All right. Okay. Now, let me ask you this one. How many of you wait till 5 miles past empty? Yeah, there we go. 5 miles past empty. You figure that indicator light comes on, you got about 5, maybe 10 more miles to go. And with one of my vehicles, the gas gauge is broke, so I know how many gallons can go in the tank. And so I roughly got it figured out when I should fill the tank. There have been a few times I would wait till the light comes on, and then that's when my wife gets all nervous. She thinks as soon as it comes on, I need to be right there at a gas station. And she doesn't understand you can go a few more miles once that light comes on. Now let me ask you this one. How many of you have ever run out of gas? Oh yeah, oh yeah. We have been there. We have run out of gas. Again, that's why my wife doesn't like that indicator light, because she has been with me a few times when I have stretched it to the limit and have run out of gas, sometimes out in the middle of nowhere. But nonetheless, sometimes in our life, though, we spiritually need to refuel. And we find in the context this morning, we meet a woman who was running on empty. We meet another woman who was in a place of worship. And then we meet the Lord Jesus, who gives us principles on the matter of refueling spiritually. So let's read the context, and then we'll break it down for us this morning. Notice in Luke chapter 10, follow along as I read verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we notice here in the context, Jesus with these two women, Mary and Martha, and they are coming to the Lord Jesus from different vantage points. But Jesus gives a classic answer that I think will help us as well And when we try to understand the importance of what do we do when in our life we feel like we're going through the motions, sometimes we feel like we're just running on empty. Are you there this morning? Sometimes we can get to that place where we just feel like we're running on empty. And so what do we do? Well, let's notice here, if you would, first of all, this morning, we see Martha and her problem of frustration. In verse number 40 and verse number 41, we see that Martha was distracted. The Bible tells us here in the context that she was cumbered about, meaning she was being drawn away. She was so preoccupied, church, with getting food to Jesus that she failed getting spiritual food from Jesus. She was just cumbered about. She was distracted. She was drawn away with all the other things. And she had substituted busyness for blessing. She had substituted the activity for that which was really most important in her life. And she missed it. Not only was she a distracted woman, but we find that she was a distressed woman. She was, the Bible says here in this context, Jesus says to her, you are careful, you are drawn in different directions, you are one uptight woman. Have you ever met an uptight woman? Huh? Yeah. Don't dare say. On that one, you will stay neutral. An uptight woman. This woman was uptight. I mean, hey, think about it. It's not every day Jesus comes to your house, right? How many of you women would probably identify with Martha? You know, Jesus is coming to your house. You know he's in your village, and now he's in your house. And what's the first thing you want to do? You want to clean it all up. You want to put on the dog, so to speak. Not a literal dog, but you know what I mean. You want to put on the best. You want to put on the best food. You want to get out the finest china. You want to just do your very best in this situation. And here was this Martha woman. She was uptight. Jesus says, you are careful. You're troubled about many things. You're uptight. Then he says something else about her in verse number 41, is that you are troubled about many things. That is, you are just thrown into an uproar. So you're uptight, you're distressed, you are distracted, you are distraught, you are just troubled, you are a woman that's in an uproar. You see, she had allowed, church, what was urgent to crowd out what was most important in her life. Now, I would say this morning that even in this kind of a crowd, there are those who are the doers. You're not so much concerned about all of the detail. Let's just get the job done. Let's do. You are that kind of individual. There's nothing wrong with that per se, but in this context, there was something greatly wrong with it. Because Jesus was saying, Martha, you're uptight, you need to unwind, and he gives her a very good answer here in just a moment that we'll look at. But we see that this woman, Martha, is just frustrated. She's going, but she can't continue to run on empty. By the way, if you go back into the beginning of the Word of God, the Bible, you will find that God created the world in how many days? And what did he do on the next day? He rested. God then is our creator, correct? As our creator, he has not designed any of us. I don't care how good you are. God has not designed any of us. And I didn't learn this until this past week about an interesting thing that, and this is in the heart studies, that your heart does better if you rest at least one day a week. So now, I've given you scientific evidence. They say how you can avoid having heart attacks. Rest one day a week. Take a day off. How many of you get a day off? How many of you want a day off? Yeah. Sometimes in our life, though, it is good for us to, like Martha, she was just so frustrated. She was running on empty. She did need to refuel, but to her, hold it, I don't have time for that. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Charles Hummel who wrote an article called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And listen to what he said in the article. He says, "We all think we need a 30-hour day to cope with life. But would a 30-hour day really solve the problem? Wouldn't we soon be just as frustrated as we are now with our 24-hour allotment? Our dilemma goes deeper than shortage of time. It is basically the problem of priorities." And here, this dear lady didn't have her priorities right. Commend her on one hand, wanting to do good for Jesus and make it look the best and all of that. But notice in verse number 39, the other woman in the text. Notice we find Mary, and she reveals to us the priority of fellowship. Look at this. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So again, get the context. You got busy Martha. She's in the kitchen. And obviously, at one point, Mary was in there with her. But when Jesus entered into the house, what does Mary choose to do? She moves herself out of the kitchen and goes and puts herself seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Which was a very common posture, by the way, in those days. Rabbis, as they would come, they would often sit and people would sit around them. And so she is sitting around the feet of the Lord Jesus, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she is just taking the time. You know, I don't need to be working right now. I need to take some time and worship. Now, don't get the idea that Martha was the worker, Mary was the worshiper, and that you have to make a choice between the two. Do I worship or do I work? Because notice, if you would, in the context, it says that she also, where Martha is charging her, "Lord, bid her to get back in here. She's left me to serve alone. Tell her to get back in here." But Mary just takes some time and she says, "You know what? I'm going to go sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus because I want to learn from him." Now notice then the third main point, and this is what I really want to focus on, and that is this morning, that Jesus teaches us the principle of refueling. Look at verse 42. "But one thing is needful." Now he's talking to Martha, "and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." We see here in the context that Jesus is telling Martha, there is one thing that is very needful in your life, and that's to do exactly what your sister is doing. That there comes a time when you just need to sit at my feet. There comes a time you just need to pull aside away from the busyness of life and take the time to refuel. You need to take the time to recharge spiritually. And he lays out before her the principle of decision. He's saying here in the context that Mary hath chosen that good part. Now stay with me. It is much easier at the end of the day to watch TV than to pray. You with me? You've worked hard, and you think, you know what, I can't wait to get home. I just want to hit the couch for a little while. I just want to veg. I'm going to turn on the TV, and I don't care what's on. That's what I want to do. That's your way of dealing with the busyness of the moment. And it's much easier to gravitate toward that. It is much easier in the morning by the time you showered and had breakfast to say, you know, there's just not much time now for the Bible today. And it's much easier to take your phone and relax with Facebook and Instagram and see everybody's pictures and to see what they might have to say and to see all kind. I mean, this morning I was scrolling through Facebook because somebody had messaged me, and so while I was on it, I just went ahead and scrolled through a little bit, and I saw one of these little ads, how to get rid of toe fungus. I thought, really? We're doing this on Facebook? How to get rid of, and they show these ugly looking orange yellowish toes all eaten up with fungus, and I'm sorry if you have that problem, but it was ugly. And then they want you to listen to this video from Dr. So-and-so, how you can use apple cider vinegar and mouthwash and soak your feet in that. I thought, really? I don't know if that works. Any of you that might have that problem, let me know if it works. And I'll post that and say, yeah, this does work. But never heard of such a thing. Apple cider vinegar and mouthwash to kill toe fungus. But as I think about that, sometimes in our life, that's how we relax, is that we go into Facebook, we go into Instagram, and we want to hear what others have got to say. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with Facebook and Instagram, but listen carefully. There has to be the principle of decision that says this. Today, as I start my day, I'm going to choose the good part. I'm not going to rush into my day and just get going. I'm going to take a few minutes and acknowledge God. That's what Mary's doing. She's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She's getting to her heart in a place where it needed to be. Now, notice with me, if you would, in this context where there is this principle not only of decision, but also of discrimination where Mary hath chosen the good part. Now listen carefully. The enemy to the best is not the bad, but the good. Here's a question for you to consider. Why did Jesus tell Martha that only one thing was needed? Why didn't he say here's four things that are needed? He said there's only one thing that is needed. Why did he tell Martha that? Here is what I believe the answer is. Because Jesus will survive if Martha doesn't feed him. But Martha won't survive if Jesus doesn't feed her. And when I say feed her, I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. She was running on empty. She was busy doing this and doing that, but she had settled for less. Jesus wanted her to settle for sitting at his feet, learning of him, knowing him more. Now let me ask you something. In your day, how do you start your day? I suppose if I allowed you to openly answer that, we would hear different kinds of answers. Some of you don't even begin to function until you have 8 cups of coffee, right? Some of you are like that. Other ways. You've heard my testimony several times, but to me, my day always starts with getting up, taking my Bible in hand, and just letting God speak to me for a few minutes. Now, why is that so important to me? Because, quite frankly, I don't want to hear what the commentators on Fox News have to say to start my day. You with me? I don't want to hear that first. That's depressing. I don't want to hear what they got to say on CNN first. That's depressing. How many of you can walk away and say, man, I watched an hour of news and I am encouraged? I didn't think so. Not a one of us. Even the Channel 12 watching the 6 o'clock news, all you hear about is so-and-so was murdered over here and so-and-so was murdered over here, or the store was robbed here. Wow. You hear about the worst of humanity. Wouldn't you love it if there was just some times when all the news was about was just stuff that was reported, that good stuff that happened during the day? Huh? Somebody fell down and a group of people gathered around that person and just helped them up. And boy, that's positive. I mean, so here's my point. Start your day with the best. Is there anything wrong with watching Fox News or CNN or any other kind of news? No, but the better part is to say, I'm going to start my day with God. And Jesus is driving home that point to Martha. Hey, your sister chose the good part. Your sister chose the best part. Your sister chose the right kind of gas, if you would, to put into her tank to start her day. I remember a few years ago, some of you that were with us many years ago will remember this, maybe. But our very first youth pastor that we had, single guy, he only lasted with us for 6 months, but that said, I remember one of the youth activities that he had. He borrowed a van from one of the men of our church. We didn't have a van at that time. And he borrowed one of the vans that this gentleman owned and put the teenagers in it. And he realized, hey, we need some gas. And it just takes regular gas. And you know what he put in it? Diesel. Yeah. Now, the guy from the church was very forgiving. And it cost him a little bit of money to get it corrected. But nonetheless, that youth pastor had put in the wrong kind of gas in the tank. And sometimes in our life, church, we can start our day and, if you would, put the wrong kind of gas in our spiritual tank. We need to start our day with God. We need to start our day with Him and acknowledge Him, because after all, we're only able to wake up even today because of Him. You with me? His mercies are new every morning, and you are only alive today because God is allowing you to draw breath. He's the giver of life. He's the taker of life. And today He wants you to acknowledge Him. And we find in this context that Martha was being taught an important lesson. You need to choose the good part. It's not that it's bad for you over here to be serving in the kitchen, but it's really better for you to be right here, right now, sitting at my feet, learning my teachings and learning what I've got to say to you. That can wait. Jesus was teaching her, you need to slow down and you need to put the right gas in your spiritual tank. You need to refuel. And so here we find that Jesus also shares the principle of duration. Look at this, if you would, in verse number 42. He says this about Mary, which shall not be taken away from her. Not taken away. Wow. Jesus is saying what Mary chose is that which will last. Now stay with me on this. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 6. In fact, I want you to go there. Go to Matthew 6. I want you to see this. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches about the sometimes being like a Martha, we're worried about things and what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, and that kind of thing. And so he says here in verse number 25, let's start there. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, look what he says, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're all worried about, that you're all uptight about. He says, all these things will be added. Now look this way and think about this. Who are you most like in this account? Martha? Busy? You're going. Right now it's good. But you're watching that gas gauge. Now you're half full. Pretty soon you're down to a quarter full. Pretty soon that indicator light comes on. It's a warning light saying, hey, you need to take some time to refuel. Are you there? Or are you more like Mary, who is going the other direction, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning more about him and just filling up your tank spiritually? Now, for those of us this morning that know Christ as our Savior, you know the importance of this. You know the importance of getting into the Word of God, whether it's 5 minutes or 30 minutes, but taking time every day at the start of your day to say, I'm going to get alone with God, I'm going to hear from God first, and set my heart aright for this day. Because how many of you know you don't know what a day will bring forth? Gordon Harrison is in ICU at McLaren Hospital facing surgery. Guess where he was last Sunday? Right here. If you would have asked Gordon if he thought he would be in ICU this Sunday, he would have told you, no way. I feel great. But today, a week later, that's where he is. Because reality is, there's not a one of us who knows what today will bring. So far better for me then to set my heart aright with God first. And then as I go through my day, that no matter what comes, if it means I land in the hospital or if it means I've got to make some major decision in my life, no matter what it means, I have got the mind and the wisdom of God to face that particular decision in my life. Where'd that come from? By taking time to start my day with Him. What did I do? You see, I can't live off of yesterday's blessings. I've got to take the time today to get alone with the Lord. So let me ask you this. Are you running on empty? Are you running on empty? And do you need to refuel? If so, make the right choice, number one, and spend time with the Lord. Number two, start by filling your tank every day with God's Word and prayer. Do that every day. And number three, pay close attention to the low indicator fuel light and slow down and refuel and so you don't run out of gas. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, we live in a world today that is really uptight. Would you agree with me? We live in a world that is in an uproar in many ways. And though we don't live in the big cities, I have been in those big cities, and I see the hustle and the bustle. Been to New York City, been to Washington, D.C. I've been to some of Chicago. Wow, what a crazy city. Beautiful city in some respects, but a crazy city to drive in, and wow. I know the speed limit will say speed limit 55. If you do 55, you're going to get run over. So you just kind of keep up with what everybody else is doing, which sometimes seems like 80. That's kind of like around here in Detroit, you know, just go down, drive down that way. People in a hurry. Boy, hurry. But stay with me. Many of those people, and I'm not judging them, but their life is running on empty. And part of it is they've never come to know Jesus. Listen to the verse I quoted again, and let me break it down and we'll close. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, all you that are just busy, 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 busy." And he gives the promise, "I'll give you rest." Now let me ask you, is your soul this morning at rest? Are you at rest? Are you at peace with God? See, Jesus says, "Come to me." Where do we go? Many times we go to things that we enjoy, and that's not necessarily wrong. We'll go to things. And Jesus says, "Hey, I'm not offering you things. I'm offering you relationship." And he says, "Come unto me." Are you tired of running on empty? Are you tired of just going and going and going and feeling like really you're not going anywhere? You're just kind of spinning this plate here and spinning this plate here and spinning this plate here. And the Lord says, "Hey, slow down. Pay attention to the fuel indicator light and pay attention to it. And take the time to come to me." Now let me ask you, have you come to Jesus for salvation? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Hey, I'm so glad today from the Bible I'm preaching, it tells you that you can know. And if you don't know Jesus, this peace, this rest I'm talking about, you can't know about it until you come to him. That's why he says, "Come to me." He didn't say, "Come to a church." He didn't say, "Come to your good works." He says, "Come to me, come to me, come to me." And he says, "If you'll come to me, then here's the promise, I will give you rest." Peace with God for me started at 9 years of age. For some of you, it came at a different age, at a different time in your life. But today, you are at peace with God. If you died right now, you know that you'd go to heaven, not because you come to Calvary Baptist Church, but because you know you have put your faith and trust in Jesus alone to save you, and you know that that's the way. He's the only way to heaven. You've made that decision. Praise God for that. But if you haven't made that decision, come to Jesus today. He's not offering you religion. He's offering you a relationship, eternal life. Don't you want that? Because reality is every one of us is going to live after we die in one of two places. Heaven with the Lord or hell without the Lord. And Jesus today stands ready to say, "Hey, I'll save you. I'll give you eternal life. Come to me." For those of you that are Christians this morning, you might be just like the professional NASCAR driver back in 1987 during the Daytona 500. Jeff Bodine was only 3 laps away from winning, and you guessed it, until he ran out of gas. And church family, the Lord wants you to not only make it to the finish line, he wants you to cross the finish line. He doesn't want you running out of gas. And today, take time to be with him this week. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, this morning, we have the great opportunity to respond to your word now. Jesus was calling upon Martha for a decision to choose the good part, to take time to fellowship with the Lord. And Father, really, that invitation still stands today, that the Lord every day wants us to, before we get started in our busyness of the day, to take the time to set our heart right with you. To take some time and open up your word, let your word speak to us, so that we can go into our day with your direction and your wisdom. Father, slow us down. Teach us to take time every day to spend with you. Many times there are days when we're just like Martha, we're just uptight. And I know when those days come in my life, it doesn't take me long to realize, hold it. I didn't take the time to acknowledge you at the start. And so, Father, in our day today, help us to decide that this week, Lord willing, and with your help, we will start each day with you. That we'll take some time to pray, to read your word, before we start into our day. Father, for those that know not Jesus, help them to come to Jesus today and enter into his rest. In Jesus' name I pray, now with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Will there be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, in my life, spiritually speaking, I'm running on empty. If I'm not running on empty, the indicator light is on and I need to pay attention. And today I realize why. I just really haven't been taking time for the Lord. I love the Lord, but I just haven't taken the time to spend with him as I should. And Pastor, would you remember me in prayer today that this week I will on purpose, with God helping me, spend every day for a few minutes starting my day with the Lord. I realize that as my need this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Just lift it up. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Pastor, I'm nearing empty, or I'm running on empty. And I realize why. I just haven't been taking time for the Lord. God has challenged my heart about that. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? I wonder this morning there'd be some here who'd say, Pastor, I want to know about that rest the Lord was talking about. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I would like to know. You tell me the Bible says I can know, then I want to know. But I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I do want to know. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. Today, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. If that's your need, would you lift your hand right where you're at? I won't call your name. I'll just acknowledge it and remember you in prayer. Anybody at all while we wait, say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. I really do. I really want to know. Anybody at all while we wait, just lift your hand up and put it right back down. And now, Father, thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you for the power of your word. And for these this morning that have said, yes, I'm either running on empty or I'm nearing empty. And they realize why. Strengthen them. Help them. Just take time to spend with you every day this week. To set their heart aright help them, strengthen them. And now, Father, for those that know not Jesus, help them to come to Jesus today and believe on him and receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen.